This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are giving away Mariners tickets again this week.
Oh, we got 2 days worth of them, Saturday tickets and Sunday tickets.
So this is Mariners v. Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Woo! Is this like a big matchup? I see again.
I guess it could be considered. These are very winnable games for the Mariners. The Diamondbacks are kind of on par in terms of one loss record. The Mariners should be doing better and should be taking control of that team out of Arizona.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. We've got two tickets, one for Saturday, first pitch 7, 10 p.m.
So we have two pairs of tickets, one for Saturday. Not two tickets, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
No, okay. Because I'm reading my own post that I put out there. It's two tickets for Saturday's game and two tickets for Sunday's game. Mm-hmm. Sunday is an afternoon game. Saturday is an evening game. We just need you DM, slide into our DMs. Send us your email address and Mariners ticks. And if you have a preference, sure, let us know that. We're going to pick one winner for Saturday's game and then one winner for Sunday's game. We'll email you the tickets, and we will announce them right here on this show, actually tomorrow. So It's a little bit, again, of a short time window. Could we kind of get them, and then we got to get them out. So,
well, and especially this week where we had that pesky holiday on Monday.
It's Memorial Day now. You be good.
Okay, well, it just throws off every little bit of chi in terms of the week, especially in our business.
I know, it really does. And I was kind of off grid this weekend because I was like, I had company for like a million days, it feels like. And it went up yesterday. You go to kykn.com. Takes 2 seconds, email them. I already know I've kind of been spreading the word. So if you want them, get out there and get them because there will be competition for these tickets.
Mm-hmm. I think I've already seen a couple of names dropped into the chat. So we're definitely going to have a competitive race for the random drawing.
I think so. And it will be random. We'll get the randomizer and it'll pick the tickets. So again, this is at T-Mobile Park up in Seattle, as my grandmother would say, Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's plenty of time before the FIFA crowd begins to show up. So it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. I have to go to a wedding in July, and it's like right after all of that. And, looking at hotels and things like that, which I decided not to do. I'm just going to do the drive from Olympia. But everything's going to be more expensive and more hectic up there in Seattle when FIFA, the World Cup, is up there.
Yes, we are. We've actually got a wedding. Luckily, not in Seattle itself, out in Port Orchard come late June. So, we'll be doing the long weekend at that point. So,
yep, it is the season. It's just been a crazy, there's so much going on this summer, and I'm trying to like coordinate everything, and it's just been kind of crazy. So, speaking of crazy, oh my gosh. And this is Meg again. Oregon has been trending on X. Mm-hmm. And again, it's for stupid reasons. The Peace Act. It's an acronym. I don't care what it means. It needs to be squashed. It's being presented out there. And first of all, who were the 120 idiots who signed this thing, frankly? I'm calling it what it is. Well, what is it? Couches. Well, nobody wants to be cruel to animals, so of course I'm going to sign it. Well, now it looks like it's headed for the ballot, so good job.
Yeah, that's 120,000 plus people signed this initiative. Even it's being presented as, against animal cruelty. I'm sitting there going, it just shows the ignorance of those 120,000 people to not even know the laws and regulations of this state, because it's already illegal to be cruel to animals. This isn't about cruelty to animals. This is about hunting. This is about fishing. This is about ranching. This is about pest control. This is about breeding your dogs. This is about any and everything that has to do with an animal in this state.
So basically, thanks to our friend Representative E. Werner Reschke tweeted this out too. This is what it would do. Like you said, it would effectively ban or criminalize hunting and fishing. What do you think that's going to do to the entire industry on the Oregon coast?
Well,
these people are really stupid. They do not think these things through.
I am just sitting going, as I run through the list of people I know that go on a yearly or a couple times a year go on hunting trips. Mm-hmm. I am just sitting there going, now all these people are looking at one of two options, either packing up and leaving the state of Oregon or taking all of that kind of tourist dollars, the hunting gear, the trips, the permits and everything else, and leaving to what, Northern California, Eastern Washington, mm-hmm. Idaho?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would also make routine livestock practices like breeding, artificial insemination, or natural mating. They could be reclassified as sexual assault. Not kidding. Mm-hmm. Raising animals for meat, dairy, eggs, or fiber would become illegal. Depending on how it's interpreted in courts, it could criminalize dog breeding and training, animal research, veterinary practices in some interpretations. God forbid rodeos and even some farming operations. So he's saying this is just bad, very bad policy. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be voted down. The other thing is if it does go through, I almost kind of like, you know what, Oregon, especially the I-5 corridor, you ought to get what you vote for. Because then do you think there's going to be people that are going to, oh, to hell with this, and they're just going to become criminals?
Well, I just sit here and I go, let's look at the very basics. Dairy farming will become illegal. That is a huge industry in this area. I mean, these are mm-hmm. massive, you know, operations that will be packing up and shutting down. And what's it going to do to the value of large properties both here and in Eastern Oregon that rely on you know, livestock? I am just going, they're not going to be able to sell these properties. They're going to be useless properties in just wide swaths of areas that the solar panel people are going to come in and, you know, put out solar panels everywhere, because that's all it's going to be useful for once the animals are all gone.
Right, right. And so, again, anytime you see these left of progressive communists, whatever, these people putting these things, it's never about what they say it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about starving you out. It's about controlling you. If you control the food, you control the people. And you look at just generational farms, and a son who inherits a farm from his dad that's maybe been in the family for 400, 300 years or whatever, however long, like 100 years, let's say. And then you add the taxes on top of that, and then you criminalize whatever the operation is that the farm does. Not to mention you make it that where nobody hires anybody illegal. You've got illegal immigration and all the mess. All of this is thanks to progressives. Know exactly who to look at when you're like, why is this state spiraling out of control? Mm-hmm. There they are. They've been in power for 30 plus years. And this is just more of the same garbage from these people.
Well, I just sit here and go, and you know, these little things within this bill, I go, you know, if I get a mouse in my house and I need to put out a mouse trap, is that illegally, you know, I'm going, so now the rodent's going to take over my home. And I go, and this is only one step away from pretty much saying that rotisserie chicken you like to buy at Costco. Well, God, that's like torturing the animal. Even after it's dead, so we should probably ban that. At the very least, the prices of any animal, fish, beef, poultry, pork, are all going to skyrocket because it's all going to be imported from out of state. There's no way you're going to be able to find a local rancher to buy your half a cow from. I just go, this is absolute insanity, and yet here we are on the verge of making it to a ballot, which once it hits the ballot in the state of Oregon, anything can happen.
And again, when you've got the Secretary of State's office, you just look at how the petitions were sort of put out to people. This innocuous title, this, it's against animal cruelty. Well, everyone's going to be, you're going to get the aww crowd who's going to go, yeah, I'll sign that. Meanwhile, abortion is legal up to 39 weeks. So we're good with that. But having a chicken do what it does naturally and lay an egg so I can eat it, that's a bridge too far. I mean, this is so the people signing it. I'm sorry, you're all a bunch of ignoramuses. That the fact that you would sign this and not dig a little bit deeper. But now it looks like they've got the signatures. They've still got to be verified. They've got to have a buffer. So there's still time for them to do that. So it probably will be on there. And a lot of people are like, well, this would never pass. This is insane. I'm like, measure 110. Mm-hmm. That'll never criminalize decriminalize drugs. Measure 114. Mm-hmm. That'll never. The highest inheritance tax, that'll never, all of the times we've heard that'll never pass. Well so and here, never say that, especially along the big blue blob of the I-5 corridor.
Well, and the other aspect is this has, you know, no direct effect. This isn't a tax increase on you. So people aren't going to come out in masses to vote against it. This is simply, and you can guarantee they're not going to present this as, you know, literally shutting down a massive part of the Oregon economy. They're going to pass this off as animal cruelty, and that's the only words that are going to come out of their mouths when they promote it. And I'll sit here and go, what happened to the days? Because I've been to plenty of events where the same group of people are out, you know, showing about animal cruelty, right, and they're trying to shove pictures of pelts and pictures of bloody, you know, skinning of an animal right in your kid's face to try and make a point. You know, that's where they get these signatures now, is they've gone away from the blood and gore aspect of it. And let's just do it legislatively under a nice name like peace.
Right. And so you're not going to, what you're going to have then, and it used to be back in the day, and I am not for this. In fact, back in my loony liberal Democrat days, I was out there with my PETA stickers and, you know, railing against factory farming, because you're going to have, so that's where you're going to have to get your meat now from a factory farm in some other state that may have less controls and things like that, versus somebody going out and humanely harvesting an animal. You're going to have skyrocketing wildlife populations. Again, you got man in the forest messing with the natural ecosystems. You take away the natural predators, which man is one, and you take away the responsible hunters. You're going to have probably more poaching, because people who break the laws, we saw that with gun laws, they don't follow the laws. They don't care about your stupid little Democrat laws. So all the unintended, or maybe their intended, consequences, a ramp up in factory farming. Have you seen how chickens live in a factory farm? And you're going to yell at me for keeping seven in my coop who were spoiled rotten. Please.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I just sit here and go, do you think that a small independent ranch in Montana or Texas is going to be shipping meat into Oregon? No, these are all massive factory production lines that are going to be the ones that have the bottom line to send trucks full of, you know, meat into the state of Oregon. And that's, you're going to be kind of lucky to even get it at that point. I mean, literally the price is going to go so high and it's going to be so unavailable, and you're giving, it's like the global, you know, the climate change people in Oregon. We need the cleanest air in the world. I'm sitting there going, but yet other states, other nations, other this, they're not destroying their economy, and they don't give a rat's patootie about, you know, the air quality in some of these third world countries.
Have you seen the Ganges? I mean, come on.
Do they know this is a world and not just a you know, bubble over Oregon?
Well, before we go to break, the warning really is here is never say never. Do not say this will not pass in Oregon. The time now to get out there and to rally. And this needs to be a major campaign plank for Christine Drazen as she runs for governor, and frankly, every other Republican running. Do not sit there and be complacent and think that this will never pass. It's Oregon, people. It could.
Well, and hopefully there's an organization or two or 17 that get behind this and actually put the money into making sure that the word gets out so it gets voted down. Because if they try and treat this like 114 or 110 and just we'll let it pass and then we'll challenge it in court, I go, good luck.
Everyone's still in court over 114. You don't want to do that. Learn from the past. All right, we're running a little long. Let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, so looking a little further north, I mean, we were talking about Seattle. The irony alert up in Seattle, there's a Seattle neighborhood. I think somebody had Grok ask. It's like Aurora Street. I don't remember. I don't know Seattle that well. They've been overwhelmed by surging gun violence, shootings, and open prostitution. So what did they do? Well, they built massive homemade barricades with metal barriers, dirt, and concrete to protect their streets. Dollars to donuts, how many of them do you think voted for Mayor Forehead?
I'm sure a good portion of the neighborhood did. Aurora Avenue up in the Seattle area is a very well-known place for drug dealing and prostitution. Virtually, you can go online and you can find videos of virtually underage prostitutes out there at all hours of the day, hanging out around school zones, anything. There is no law up there virtually. And it sounds like this neighborhood is near there. It's a little smaller neighborhood. It's not a major thoroughfare. But the gang violence and the pimp wars have literally erupted throughout this neighborhood. So what they've done is to divert traffic from being able to just kind of use this as a thoroughfare. At one end of the street, they put up these roadblocks. And they do this in Portland to direct traffic in certain areas. There's a lot of these kind of older neighborhoods up there where they've put in kind of these barriers to keep traffic flowing in one direction rather than have a whole lot of in and outs and cross throughs. But virtually, so now you've created one access point for this neighborhood now by cutting off the access from the bigger road where all the problems are created and coming from.
But again, I ask the question, how many people voted for this mayor? And it's like, it's funny when, you know, the people that vote for communism are always shocked when they get it.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think it was going to be like that.
Well, and that's the thing is I just seeing the headlines coming out of Seattle right now. We mentioned that, you know, FIFA's coming to town.
Yeah.
So last week we mentioned that there's some video out there of them herding the homeless onto the ferry boats to send them off to Bremerton and other ferry boat communities. And of course, they're making sure that the streets are clean. And then, of course, there's parts where this gang violence, they're virtually, you can go find videos, pimp wars are going on. There's shootouts almost every night. The mayor had a press conference where at the time they were at the press conference, there was a shooting on the other side of the building. Seattle police literally tweeted about it and then saw earlier today, the mayor's office sent a letter to the police department that they need to remove that tweet because it makes them look bad.
Oh, geez.
And the police department's like, yeah, no, we're not going to be bullied into hiding the truth of what's going on.
God. And yeah, trying to, again, shut down any dissension. This mayor will never take questions. Anything gets even a little bit where it's like, that could be a heart, or there may be like, hey, can you answer for this? She's got her handlers yanking her away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I go back to, you remember when we had the big series of student walkouts across the nation a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And right there on Rainier Avenue in Seattle, a couple of young people were murdered in a drive-by shooting, gang-related. And, of course, they just kind of swept that under the rug. And you know, unfortunately, these things happen. It's like they shouldn't be happening. We should feel safe to walk the streets of a major city like Seattle. Instead, it's just devolving into chaos every time you turn around.
Right. I mean, and these people were saying that there's like shootings every day they hear gunshots. Mm-hmm. I mean, you expect to hear it maybe in rural parts where people are target shooting or whatever. You don't necessarily expect to hear it in Southeast Salem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day.
Well, and that's the thing. I saw a video last week of a guy who's in that Aurora area who literally he said that every night they're hearing gunshots. He heard a whole bunch of gunshots one night. He called the police and they said, well, you know, is there gunshots happening right now? He goes, well, no. Okay, well, then we're not going to worry about it.
Yep.
And he went out the next morning and found 14 casings outside of his house.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, there was a child in a bassinet. A bullet went through the wall and lodged into the bassinet. This child was sleeping in one night in that area. I mean, it has become all-out gang warfare, and the mayor has turned a full blind eye.
So it's baffling to me. That's just up the road. You've got chaos and utter, you know, the same kind of crap. I mean, Portland is kind of ground zero. So what does Salem do? Salem then elects a progressive mayor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what you want?
I don't know.
It's like, wow. Are people in so much of a bubble that they don't even look, you know, what, 20 miles, 25, 30 miles up the road to see what's happening?
Well,
and don't think that if you elect the same mindset, the same policies, you're going to get a different outcome in Salem?
Well, here's the funniest part is, you know, Salem mayoral race was a nonpartisan race. But yet after victory was declared for the progressive candidate, progressive groups came out touting it and how amazing it's going to be that we now have a progressive mayor. And
exactly.
I'm just sitting here going, so virtually either people are just ignorant to what's going on, ignorant to the person they voted for, or actually want this stuff. And which one is it? Because I'm really confused.
And we'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break, but interviewing people, because there's now a big full-scale revote against Mamdani in New York. And even there was an interview with a guy who voted for him, and, well, it was all smoke and mirrors. At what point do you just say, I was ignorant, I didn't do my research, I voted wrong, and now I'm going to have to be stuck with it, and then trying to say that it was you were just duped? He told you everything. These people, you know, the new mayor in Salem has told you everything she's going to do. They don't hide it. So do you just think that they're not serious?
Boy,
that it really free this and free that and free everything is really free? Do you really believe that?
Here's where it really comes down to. I think that, you know, we can go back to 2020 and the COVID scenario. And we talk about it regularly. How few people that bought into the COVID stuff, hook, line, and sinker, still to this day will not acknowledge that they were the fool for doing it. They'll still hold tight to the belief that they were in the right and people that didn't go along were in the wrong. And it's just lucky it worked out the way it did.
And so now the next time it comes up and the next time these things where you're looking at it, and those of us who can see it clearly realize it for what it is, these same individuals, it's almost they're going to buy into it more. Is it a face-saving thing? I'm trying to understand that, because I know then you'd have to admit, especially if you harmed your children in any way,
well,
because you bought into that. And I don't know how you navigate that. I honestly don't.
Well, see, and there's the underlying problem. We have become a society where rather than admit wrong, we coddle incorrect.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay that you might have got this wrong. I mean, look at test taking in schools. It's no longer a paper filled with red marking saying that you screwed this thing up. It is now a coddle of, well, you had a few mistakes here. Let's go ahead and retake this. We'll give you an opportunity to fix that. You know, it's like you don't get a redo in life. We're teaching that you don't admit you're wrong and you just get a redo. And I'm just going, but yet here we are going down this path of destruction, and yet we get no redo at the end of it.
No.
If the socialism takes over this mentality and takes us all down into the gutter where everyone that owns an animal has now left the state and there's nothing left to literally milk for money, there is no going back.
Yeah, and it's in the court systems now as well. You see that as well. They had a bad childhood, so let's let them off the hook for God knows what. And well, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what's going on in New York, because kind of what happens in New York, it can spill out to the rest of the country. So come on back after the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. I kind of wish I hadn't heard that Adam's rib ad, because now I'm craving brisket. I need some brisket.
Well, you just wait. When IP28 comes along, you're not.
Oh. It'll be, I'll have to get like, they have to have speakeasies for barbecue joints. Oh. You have to have like a secret code and knock on the door and have a secret password to get in and get your brisket.
Well, I sit there and go, how long until that becomes a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you have progressive leadership in this city, you know, Outback might be gone. Adam's Rib might be gone, because guess what? You can't torture these animals even after death by cooking up their carcass.
Just speaking of speakeasies, just remember who brought the country prohibition. It was the progressive busybodies, those women who, you know, drink, no lips, touch drink, will touch mine, and blah, 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 blah. And look how well that worked out. We got the mob. Yay! So be careful here, people, be careful. All right, so speaking of like ridiculous, stupid Democrat progressive, again, I need an acronym for that, like the Peace Act. And this was the one where I talked about the guy who was interviewed. There was a big, full scale, very peaceful. And I loved it. You saw a lot of Israeli flags, a lot of American flags. People were very peaceful. Probably a lot of them voted for this clown, who really isn't such a clown, because he's doing everything he said he was going to do. And now all of a sudden people are like, again, it was all smoke and mirrors. No, it wasn't. He told you everything. You really believed the buses were going to be free? Are you mad? You really believe that?
Well, you know, the most recent thing, and I sit here and go, well, yeah, buses are going to be free, and the city workers that clear your streets, you know, don't worry, they're going to be well taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't worry, our drainage system, it works miraculous for free.
As long as we don't get over 5.9 inches of rain, 6 inches and all bets are off.
That's right. Well, and now, of course, the new one is, you know, the buildings and rent control, because that's one that progressives love. They love to rent control. And we talked about it a little bit with Amy here locally. They've given rent control, you know, to the state of Oregon has rent control. And now you can only raise your rent approximately X amount percentage each year unless we hit this percentage in the, you know, the inflation, and then you can go
CPI,
to this.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, so virtually ever since that passed, rent has gone up every year, because you can't factor in that if I need to raise it higher down the road, I need to be able to.
Right. And people are like, I'm priced out. And then also you have a lot of people divesting in Oregon and Washington as well. Well, I don't want to be a landlord anymore. These states are very unfriendly. New York is sort of the poster child for that. Their rent control has been around in New York forever. I've known people who lived in rent. I mean, they're in these beautiful apartments and they're paying like teeny tiny amounts and they die there. And then people watch the obituaries to see and then they like run to go get these apartments. But basically the goal of communist rental control policies is always this. Well, here it is. Cap the revenue owners can take from the housing units. Oh, check, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Cause the condition of housing units to deteriorate due to maintenance costs.
Yeah.
Okay. And then blame the landlords. Mm-hmm. And then take the property because then the landlord, so that you see how that all works? And then rinse, lather, and repeat. Yep. Over and over and over again. And then the state is just going to come in. The warmth, what did he say? The benevolence of government or the warm hug of government. And I'm trying to flip Reagan's famous word, nine, you know, the nine crazy words that you never want to hear. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And this, the government is going to do everything for you. It's going to wrap you up in a blanket. It's going to give you a binky and pack you on the head. And you're just going to love it. It's going to be so good.
Well, and that's the thing is Mom Dami, after, you know, his initial, we just need to raise taxes on everybody. So we can give the free stuff out. That fell because that had to be at a statewide level to pull off the money he needed. He's now gone to full on. I mean, I think that he's now they're planning on opening a government grocery store before too long.
Goody.
And now if we can destroy these buildings and coming out and actually saying it live in a press conference that the plan is the slum lords who just aren't keeping up with the maintenance of their buildings. We're just going to take it and take care of everything and make sure that people are living the American dream for free.
I love it. Socialism ideas so good that they have to be mandatory. You will do this. It always starts. And what did Glenn? Nudge, shove, shoot, right? Mm-hmm. So you start with nudge. Okay, yeah. It's like, you know, my thing too, you have a lot of Americans, we love big houses. Mm-hmm. But there's only two of you living in that house. That's an awful big house for just two of you. Wouldn't it be nice if you took in this family, this boarder, this immigrant, this whoever needs it? Take them in. Here's a little financial incentive to do it. Okay, and some people will do it. And then, you know, you have to go and you see how that works out. There's a great book out there called A Better Life if you want to read to see kind of how that works out. And then it becomes, well, that's a really big house and you really don't need it. And you're going to take these people in. And then it comes if you don't. We're going to force you to take those people in. And then, you know what? We're going to do this cycle here and we're just going to take your house.
Well, and that's the
thing. We're going to use eminent domain or something. We're just going to take it. We're going to take it.
And that's the kicker. I mean, realistically, you already don't own your property simply because of the taxes on your property to begin with.
Yep.
But now we're going to go one step further. And if we decide that we have a better use for your property, we're just going to take it. I'm going, how would a landlord ever exist in one of these progressive states? We're seeing it in Oregon. We're seeing it in Washington.
Washington.
People are selling their rental properties because it has become such a pain in the rear end to rent to somebody, whether it's too much power to the renters, to the squatters, whoever is in that building. And now New York is literally taking that and doubling down on it by saying, hey, we know you can't get a squatter out of your building, but if that squatter destroys the building, the government's just going to come and take the building from you and leave you as the landlord holding nothing.
Right. Well, and we have all seen the horror stories about squatters. And so, you know, it always starts in the same place. Probably legitimate concerns. And there have been some landlords in the past that have been absolute dirtbags and treated their tenants terribly. So instead of just dealing individually with these people and prosecuting them to the fullest extent of the law, we're going to do a big blanket. All landlords are scum. All landlords are the bad guys. Give tenants all the rights. So the pendulum swings in the other direction. And all that does is I don't want to be a landlord anymore. So I'm not going to be a landlord, which means you have less housing and you've got a housing crisis now. It's all so predictable. That's the thing. You can see it. It plays out the same every single time. There is nothing new under the sun.
Well, and what we need to realize is there is nothing free in life.
Oh, God, no.
Whatever, you know, every time I hear the word free, the first thing that needs to go into your mind is, how much does it cost to be produced? Because there is nothing free because it has to be produced. So somebody's got to pay the bill somewhere or it's no longer going to be produced. Having the discussion, I actually had it this morning with my daughter about electric vehicles versus hybrid versus gas. And I said, one of the biggest telltale signs is how many oil companies are out there, at least half a dozen, you know, major oil companies, which ones are investing heavily in electric vehicles? None. Why? Because they don't deem it as a threat. if electric vehicles were to take over today, the oil industry goes bottoms up. So why wouldn't they be invested hedging their bets? And it's all about money. And you got to follow the money no matter how many times they sit there and say it's free, because the money's got to come from somewhere.
Somebody has to pay it. And in every case, it's you and me. Mm-hmm. And the thing is a lot of people will let it sink. And I don't like this. Again, I've professed my love for this city. I love this city. I hate seeing what's happening. I'm happy to see people waking up and they're like, deport Mom Donnie's, get him out of there. You're going to have to lie in the nest that you crapped in, people. You made this mess. What's unfortunate is it doesn't stay in New York City, because the city will go bankrupt. It will collapse. It will. And it's going to keep going this way. This guy is hell-bent on it. He's very successful. Again, he's told you exactly what he wants to do, and he's doing it. And he's doing it very effectively. But what that means is now you're going to have a handout. Well, we can't let New York go down. So you prosperous red states really need to pony up here. Help a guy out. Help a city out. We really need to get in there. New York is too big to fail.
Well, it's the socialist mentality, because I go, realistically, Mom Dami goes in and he gets a property, aka a grocery store or a apartment building, and the government's not going to run it, but one of his nice rich friends is going to be the one to take over there. And all of a sudden you see the cycle of they're creating the wealthy and powerful, and then the poor and impoverished, because we've seen it in Cuba. We've seen it in socialism across the world, because the normal people get the bottom of the barrel and just a handful of people hold the money and the power.
Yeah. Yeah. All you have to do is look to the past. Remember LBJ's Great Society? That was going to be great. We declared war on poverty. Remember the projects? Okay, my whole family's from the East Coast. My mother grew up in New York City. We know of the projects. You go look at them now. It didn't take that long for everything to start deteriorating. The government does not have your best interests at heart. You do. You have it for your family. And that's what we're seeing. The attack on the family, which is the core base of all of this. And all of this is stemming from that. And again, what is happening in New York, it's happening in Seattle, it's happening in Portland, and sadly, it's probably going to happen in Salem.
Mm-hmm. And the question will be,
I'm little Mary Sunshine today.
Well, and I just sit here and go again. The question will be, is, are we going to recognize it and pull ourselves out of the death spiral before it's too late? And every day that passes, I just sit here and go, we're just circling the drain at this point.
And what's the old adage? You vote your way into socialism. You don't vote your way out of it. So
you're not allowed to vote your way out of it.
And unfortunately, like these people that are, you know, in good faith rallying against Mom Donnie in New York, you should have seen it before the election. It's one of those, we tried to tell you. Mm-hmm. You had other choices. And again, all of this comes down to choice.
We tried to tell you in New York. We tried to tell you in Seattle. We tried to tell you in Portland. We tried to tell you in the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, and of course, California. And hopefully LA's figuring it out. We're going to find out in here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. On that happy note, let's take our last break because, you know, capitalism. Got to pay the bills. So, well, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
There we go with the food again.
We're trying to make everybody hungry.
Gotta get a gabagool. All right, so this is another one. This is a U.S. House Energy. This one's actually, I would like to see this happen, but not in the way it's kind of set up. It's the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee amended the Sunshine Protection Act into the Motor Vehicle Modernization Act. If approved by Congress, it would mandate permanent daylight savings time in all states. No, I want standard time. Can't I get my way?
Yeah, well, in that... I can see the benefits for a state like Oregon in doing daylight savings time.
But then you're up really dark.
Yeah, but most
dark.
But at the same time, most people are night animals. They stay up late and don't like waking up early. Okay. I know that there is the sunshine people. But
do you have data to back that up?
I do. I have a house of seven people. Okay. Six of them are night people. One of them is a morning person. So,
and that's the weird one.
It's like the left-handed ones, you know, but I also go, if we go to daylight savings time or constantly, I think then all of a sudden like Arizona would be on the same time schedule as us. So it would because they don't change their time. So it would either force Arizona to change their time. I'm trying to think of how this would work, because there are certain states that don't change their time. So we would have these weird scenarios where we're on this time zone. And of course, it includes this other that should be in a different time zone. And it's just going to create a little bit of chaos. Standard is the simple way. I think it's the simpler way of just going right to it. That's why it's called standard.
Right. And you don't change anything, and you just deal with the seasons. You deal with less light in the winter. You deal with more light in the summer, but you're not like dark. You're not light until almost 10 o'clock, which is weird. Mm-hmm. I know as a little kid, I hated it because I had a really weird early bedtime. And in the summer, it was awful. I could still hear my friends outside playing. And it was awful. And then, of course, being, you know, trying to catch, because we tried this in the 70s and everybody hated it, hated permanent daylight standard, daylight savings time. So I would like to see standard time. I'd like to see changing the clocks go away. It's well outworn. It's welcome. It doesn't serve a purpose anymore. It's expensive. It's just silly. Like I said, there's Arizona and there's one other state that is it Hawaii? Doesn't. I think it's Hawaii.
Could be. Well, but at the same time.
So just pick one and stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line. Pick one and stick with it. I know I'm not a huge fan right now of this idea that, you know, oh, it's Saturday. I get to sleep in and at 6 a.m. I'm awakened because there's light shining through my window. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I can't sleep in anymore. No. I get up at the same time pretty much every day. So anyway, I we'll be watching that. It'll be interesting to see what happened. I think a lot of people are ready. I know in Oregon, Senator Kim Thatcher had brought this up a number of times. We've had her on to talk about it. Honestly, I think it just needs to be standardized across the nation. But if I get a vote, maybe if they put it out to a vote of the people, or there's like a poll or a survey, I'm going to say, let's go with standard time.
I think
team standard.
Like I said, I think that's the simple, easier way. And that's why I think that like Arizona is on standard time right now, because that's the one you can just sit there and say, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to switch over. So I think that would be the simple, less messy way of just doing things and get it done. And let's abolish the, you know, throwing your clocks back or forward, you know, twice a year.
I know. I can't stand it. All right. This one. Okay. And I don't want to mock. I really don't. Because I'm so excited about America 250. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm going to be in about a week and a half, actually, flying into Boston. I'm going to Cape Cod. I want to go, you know, I'm going to go see Plymouth Rock disappointing school children since 1620. It's just a rock, people. It says 1620 on it. But so this is cool. But now there's a concert. This is from Freedom 250, the lineup of the Great American State Fair. Honestly, I looked at this lineup and I thought, is this just like AI? Is this a joke?
So initially I thought that way until I kind of started seeing other people posting about it, even ones that I know are notoriously anti-BAGA, anti-Trump. But yet they're right. Posting saying this looks like a very interesting lineup that would be a lot of fun to see.
It does. And the more I look at it, the more I'm like, well, I've never been a Vanilla Ice. But the one that struck me was CNC Music Factory. They did the song Everybody Dance Now. Remember that?
Yep.
And it's a great song.
And there was a lot of controversy. Yes. Because it was a heavy set woman that actually did the vocals. And in the music video, they replaced her with a supermodel virtually who lip synced it. And of course, Milli Vanilli's in this lineup too.
I thought they were gone. I mean, I know Rob and Fab, and what happened to them? I've watched documentaries on it. I actually was a Milli Vanilli fan. I thought Fab Moran was just beautiful, and he had these eyes and everything. But they, of course, you know, notoriously the record skipped. And they were outed as being, you know, all flash and no substance. I didn't know Milli Vanilli was the thing. And I'm looking at the thumbnail and it's some guy with braids. And I don't know who it is. The other one is Mars Day and the Time. Now, I remember them from Purple Rain and Prince. And they were in that universe. And they were great. And they did, I think the song was called The Time. I don't remember. It was good. Brett Michaels, again, Poison. I guess he's still out there touring.
Yeah, Brett Michaels is still around. Flo Rida.
I don't know who that is.
He's a rapper from Florida, kind of a party rap.
Oh, hence
kind
the name. Guy. Okay.
Yeah, Flo Rida.
Young MC? Okay.
Young MC was in Salem at the State Fair like a year or two ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So was Vanilla Ice. They actually did like a 90s tribute group.
All right. The other one is the Commodores. I love the Commodores. Mm-hmm. I loved them when Lionel Richie was with them.
So that
Ceylon is a great song. So I guess my initial reaction, I think, was wrong because it's not a joke. It's real.
It seems very real.
Yeah, but, I think Milli Vanilli threw me. I think that's what threw
me. I just said, you know, when you texted me about that, I said, well, they're just going to do a pre-recorded set, you know. They're just going to get up there and dance. But, you know, why try and hide it if you're not but
Well, and I know they tried to make a run of it. Like, we actually can sing, and it was not that great.
Yeah, well, and then it says, and many more. So I'm sure there's going to be a few more added in. And I go, you know, realistically, for 250, this is a, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. I mean, this is kind of you know, kind of a group that stretches across a number of decades.
It does. Martina McBride's on there as well. And I know, you know, we talk about nostalgia and that a lot of people are, there's a Coke ad that a lot of people are sharing out online from 1976. And again, I was a young kid. I was in junior high during the bicentennial, and it was a vastly different country. And a lot of people are really, really kind of sad about kind of what feels like it's been stolen from us, our culture. And so I think this is good. Again, I'm excited for 250, for America 250. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like there's that. I remember the whole year of 1976 being all about it. And I don't have that same feeling this time at all.
No, well.
Unfortunately, because we're so fractured.
But,
and,
but we are on the left coast where, you know, the leadership's talk is we're going to do everything to fight against the federal government. I mean, that's literally what we're hearing day in and day out here in the state of Oregon, state of Washington, state of California. It's all about, hey, the federal government's bad. We got to fight against everything they want to do. And I go, and I, you know, just looking over this, I go, I also don't see anybody in that those initial nine they've announced that would be polarizing politically. If it was, you know, if it was Kid Rock or oh, what's his name from the halftime show, yeah, that would be a challenge. I go, probably fake. But at the same time, these are just a bunch of acts that are still out performing and doing their thing. So I can totally see this being legit. It's happening over, what, from June 25th to July 10th at the National Mall in D.C. So
Yeah. So I take back I rescind my, is this a joke, and think that's great. There's a lot of people saying what other bands they'd want in there. Metallica? Really? Yeah. And that's another one where you're looking at a lot of these bands are, they're old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a video, and God love him, I loved him. I thought Van Halen with David Lee Roth at the helm was the best Van Halen. Time to retire, David.
Well, and that's the thing is we always see one of these popular, especially 80s bands kind of come out and do their farewell tour. And then you see them a year later at county fair. So,
and I get it. You know, when you're in the arts, you unless you really, really hit it big. And then if you've got really nefarious, bad management, a lot of times these people really have to work for the same reasons why a lot of people have to continue working long after they should have retired. But even Springsteen, I'm not a Springsteen fan. He's so overrated, but he's still out there. And what I mean, okay. And even like Bret Michaels and stuff, it's like, oh, guys, come on.
Not all artists get to die at their peak of popularity. I know.
Let us all remember you when you were young and beautiful, and it was 1985.
That's right.
How we all want to read. That's how we all remember ourselves.
Pull out the cassette, you know, find a tape player and rock out, right?
I'll even hang by the radio and do like I did and try to, you know, wait for the announcer to shut up so I can record my mixtape.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, we have a great show tomorrow. We got Jeff Reynolds on from Restoration News. It's going to be a great show. Lots of culture stuff to talk about with Jeff tomorrow. That's it for us today, everybody. Go out, enjoy the day, throw on a cassette tape and listen to some music.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.